Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. It is a great nation, though at the moment we have a problem with politics poisoning absolutely everything. Now, you might think that a teenage fashion magazine would be free of left-wing indoctrination, and you would be wrong. There are two, count them, two different articles in Teen Vogue that I guess are doing what they were meant to do, which is creating a certain amount of commotion. One of them in praise of Karl Marx at the same time that it insults Ronald Reagan. And another one suggesting that healthy sleep was characteristic with whiteness and calling for sleep reparations. And no, I'm not kidding about that. We will get to both of these coming up. Paul Kenger has written about the Karl Marx analysis, if I can call it that, in Teen Vogue. Paul is a professor of political science at the great Grove City College in beautiful Grove City, Pennsylvania. And he is a senior academic fellow at the Center for Vision and Values. He's author of more than a dozen books, with a new one coming out about Karl Marx, I understand. Is that right?
That's right, Michael. Yeah, with the incendiary title, The Devil and Karl Marx. So the author I wrote, God and Reagan, God and George W. Bush, and God and Hillary Clinton. And so, a few years later now, it's The Devil and Karl Marx. And you probably know this. I mean, Marx wrote some really chilling, disturbing stuff, poetry, including even poetry about the devil. And I go through all of that and much, much more in that book. It'll be out on, I think the release date is August 18th.
Wow. Well, we do need to talk about it when it comes out. Okay. Do you have any idea, Paul, because this is one of many, many mysteries in American life at the moment, why would Teen Vogue think it's a great idea to write this clearly leftist piece about the wisdom and greatness of Karl Marx?
Yeah, it's crazy, Michael. Teen Vogue is a very, it seems weird to say this, but it's a very left-wing magazine. And I think, like so many of these magazines...
Do you read it every month? Do you read Teen Vogue?
No, I don't. In fact, this is funny. I was just at the gym about an hour ago, and this kind of big weightlifting guy there named Ron, who reads my articles in American Spectator, he walked up to me. I was at the bench press machine, and he said, "Hey, Paul, I didn't know you read Teen Vogue." And I said, "Well, no, actually, Teen Beat is my favorite, not Teen Vogue." But this was flagged for me by Andrew Coffin of the Reagan Ranch Center, and he tracks a lot of everything that's Reagan. They have to be kind of aware of what's going on in the movement about that. If Reagan's being called this or Reagan is being called that, and Andrew emailed me, Michael, and he said, "Hey, you care to take on Teen Vogue next? Look what they wrote here about Reagan." And he also said, and I remembered this, he said, "Remember they wrote this piece praising Karl Marx as well." And the only other time, this was kind of in my memory bank, I think this is in Carrie Gress's book, one of her books, Teen Vogue also did, and if I can say this on a family-friendly radio show, they also did an article a couple years ago, which is a how-to manual for anal sex, and that would be for teenage girls. And that as well is posted at the website of Teen Vogue. So if your 13-year-old daughter is reading Teen Vogue, and somebody emailed me yesterday, Michael, they have something like 13.6 million followers or something like that on Facebook.
Okay, this is
or whatever.
Unreal, but and as sickening as what you just disclosed. Equally sickening is, who is Karl Marx? Meet the anti-capitalist scholar. And what they say in the article is that Karl Marx's ideas can still teach us about the past and present. There's this myth of the free market, but Marx shows very clearly that capitalism emerged through a state of violence.
Right. And in case people think you're reading that incorrectly, you said, quoting them, that capitalism emerged through a state of violence, not communism, right? You know, this of the ideology, communism, that's responsible for at least 100 million deaths in the 20th century alone. But yet, there they are, they're saying that capitalism emerged through a state of violence. And in fact, if you read the manifesto, you read the writings of Lenin, Stalin, and others, Mao, they talk about violence all the time. They advocate for violence. But you know, one of the things that's not in that article, in which I go through it very, very carefully in this piece at American Spectator, is what Karl Marx's record was with girls. And the Marx record with girls, with women, is very nasty, very ugly. And if Teen Vogue presented this to its girls, I don't think the girls would like that very much. And among other things, is that Marx's daughters, in fact, four of Marx's six children, died before he did, including his oldest daughter. And his two surviving daughters committed suicide in joint suicide pacts with their husbands. I mean, imagine that. He had two daughters. And in The Devil and Karl Marx, Michael, I write about Marx writing about suicide pacts in his poetry. A lot of this is very chilling, how all of this works. But two of his daughters had suicide pacts. In fact, the one son-in-law was such a coward, such a reprobate, that he backed out on the suicide pact and let Marx's daughter die first. And then after she took the pill, the cyanide pill, he decided not to, so he could get her inheritance. But the other
Marx's daughter,
and her husband both saw it all the way through and did a full, complete suicide pact.
Well, see, what all of this relates to, and I remember reading about Karl Marx in the Paul Johnson book, The Intellectuals,
right,
is that these people who are revered, people like Jean-Jacques Rousseau and Karl Marx, revered for showing a humanity a better way, a way to greater understanding and happiness and peace and tranquility and equality, actually often lead the most degraded lives. I mean, Marx was just a monster.
He was
irresponsible with money. He cheated everyone he ever knew. I don't know if there's a single human being who would say, you know, he was really a great guy, stand-up guy, great guy to have a beer with. And this is before the system that he designed killed those 100 million people.
Well, that's right. In fact, his wife would agree with everything that you said. And he had an affair with a family nursemaid. Her name was Helene DeMuth, and they called her Lenchen. And he had, in fact, biographers, they don't know if it was consensual. Some biographers, including Robert Payne, who was probably the best top Marx biographer, he thinks that it very well could have been raped. He thinks it might not have been consensual. But either way, if it was consensual or not, he had a child with a family nursemaid, and this family nursemaid had actually been the nursemaid to Jenny, his wife's family, when Jenny was growing up. So Marx's mother-in-law lent out Lenchen to the Marx household because Karl wouldn't work. He wouldn't earn money. In fact, both his mother and his wife said, Karl, if you'd just quit writing about capital and please start earning some capital. And the family was broke all the time. So they had a child together, and Marx refused to ever concede that the child was his, refused to give a penny of child support. And it was left to Engels, who subsidized Marx throughout his life and the entire Marx family. Engels inherited his money from his capitalist father. And so Ingalls.
Paul Kengor of Grove City College and the Center for Vision and Values. Read his piece. It's posted up at our website, michaelmedved.com. Coming up, a White House live briefing regarding Portland. Coming up on the MedVed Show.
Friends, have you had a chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com. They're the leading forum and think tank in the nation for the study and application of faith and freedom. In fact, Michael Medved visits Grove City College every year to be a part of their annual conference. He's spoken on a vast array of topics to hundreds of people at that conference. In fact, as you may know, he broadcasts this very show from their campus every year when he's there. It's always such an amazing time. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But we here at the MedVed Show encourage you to visit their website. They have all their past conferences available. You can watch MedVed's talk along with many other engaging talks. Dr. Paul Kengor, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ryan Anderson, Robbie George, and many, many more. Visit them today at faithandfreedom.com to see the wonderful lectures from some of the brightest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com. That's faithandfreedom.com.
Politicians and the media will never mention one of the biggest challenges facing the health and well-being of every American, the explosion of junk science in our country. That's why I'm so grateful for the American Council on Science and Health, a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. You've probably heard all sorts of junk science about red meat causing cancer or climate change destroying all life on Earth. Thankfully, ACSH fights back, but they need your help. Visit the website today, acsh.org.
During this time, perhaps more than ever, we're looking for things to binge watch, read, and listen to, because we're spending more time at home than ever before. So here at the MedVed Show, we want to extend a special offer to listeners right now who've not yet taken the leap to become a MedHead Premium subscriber. If you go to michaelmedved.com, click on the MedHead banner, and use the promo code SPRING40, you'll get $20 off an annual membership. In addition to that, for new members or existing MedHead members, we've discounted everything at the MedVed History Store by 50%.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full-body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The situation in America's cities, which are increasingly out of control, and no, it's not just Portland, and it's not just Portland and Seattle, and it's not just Portland and Seattle and Atlanta, it's Chicago, and it's New York, and it's Philadelphia, and it's St. Louis, and it's cities around the United States. It's Baltimore, where they can protect nothing. And this is going to be a very, very serious issue, it seems to me, in the election. Along with the pandemic and handling the pandemic, along with the economy, of course, and along with the racial issues and the question of reparations, which if the Democrats actually go there and they campaign on that, they will lose and deserve to. The Department of Homeland Security held a press conference just moments ago, and the acting Secretary of Homeland Security, his name is Chad Wolf, who I think is trying to do a decent job as much as you can under difficult circumstances, had this to say about what's become of Oregon's biggest city. Listen.
Let me reiterate that the department fully supports those who wish to peacefully protest. Let me say this again. We support and we will protect those who want to peacefully protest. Unfortunately, what we are seeing in Portland every night, roughly from midnight to 4:30 or 5 a.m., is the complete opposite. Again, what is occurring in Portland in the early hours of every morning is not peaceful protesting. These individuals are organized, and they have one mission in mind, to burn down or to cause extreme damage to the federal courthouse and to law enforcement officers. At times, we also see them targeting city property. These individuals congregate in the same area night after night. We see them planning their attacks. And yet the city of Portland takes little to no action to stop or disperse this crowd. These individuals carry lasers, baseball bats, explosive fireworks, metal pipes, glass bottles, accelerants, and other weapons, all targeting federal facilities and federal law enforcement. And yet the city of Portland takes little to no action. These individuals have repeatedly destroyed protective fencing, extensively graffitied the courthouse, torn plywood down from the courthouse and then lit it on fire, have erected barriers to block entrances to courthouses, attempted to breach the courthouse, have thrown explosive materials in the courthouse, and again, the city of Portland takes little to no action.
Okay, does anyone challenge the truth of what he's saying? It's obviously true. Chad Wolf, the Secretary of Homeland Security, continues. Listen.
Or any other senior official at the department has no problem with peaceful protesters. Said that a couple of times. I'll say that again. Second headline, unidentified federal agents are detaining protesters in Portland. Again, inaccurate and false. As you've heard I say, you'll hear Acting Commissioner Morgan say, all officers are identified as police law enforcement officers. We are only targeting and arresting those who have been identified as committing criminal acts, like any other law enforcement agency does across the country every single day of the week. We all have a responsibility to condone the violent activity that is occurring night after night. I was in Portland last week. It's a beautiful city. But unfortunately, I saw buildings and businesses shut down and boarded up. I was briefed that the violence has cost the city businesses roughly $23 million in lost revenue. We cannot let one of our cities continue to experience this lawlessness night after night.
Okay, I would guess that that $23 million estimate is probably very low. Probably very low at this point. You just look at the video. And I have not heard a single credible response to what is being described. Same thing is described in all the news accounts. The American people believe overwhelmingly that things are out of control, and they don't like it. Kayleigh McEnany, again, and I know there's some people who find her really, really annoying, but she is doing by far the best job of any Trump press secretary so far. And she says, look, this is clip number three. We cannot allow Portland to degenerate. Listen.
President Trump is taking action in Portland, even though you have a Democrat mayor and Democrat governor unwilling to work with us in this situation. We are surging resources, along with Secretary Wolf at DHS, and augmenting the Federal Protective Service to safeguard federal property. The bottom line is that this president stands with law and order, which leads to peace, and we will not allow Portland to become the new CHOP like what we saw in Seattle.
Okay, what they're talking about with the new CHOP in Seattle, CHOP was the Capitol Hill occupied protest, which caused millions and millions of dollars worth of economic damage. And it just totally trashed up what really was a lovely neighborhood. And it takes a while to recover. And, of course, all of this lawlessness and all of this disorder encourages more. There are reasons that the crime is skyrocketing all of a sudden. And no, it's not as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says that, okay, but people are unable to get jobs, they can't get jobs, so they have to go and steal bread. You know, like Jean Valjean in Les Miserables. I mean, how idiotic. That's not the crimes we're talking about. We're talking about crimes of people shooting each other on street corners or in gas stations. Not engaged in robberies, just engaged in gang warfare and violence. Random, meaningless, evil violence that can only be suppressed with strong policing. And even the moribund Washington State Republican Party is saying something about this. There's a new state GOP ad that addresses this. And yes, there is a Republican Party in the state of Washington. Listen.
Our cities taken over by radical lawlessness, shooting, murder in our streets. What happened to the state we love? Democrat leadership has led Washington to the brink. Our homes and businesses are no longer safe under leaders like Governor Inslee and Mayor Durkin. But we can fight back. It's time to elect leaders who actually care about the places we call home instead of the radical mobs. No more anarchy. No more chaos. Vote Republican.
It's simple, it's direct, it's to the point. Is it entirely fair? What's unfair about it? We live in the state of Washington in an all-Democratic paradise. They control now, because of big electoral success in 2018, both houses of the legislature and all of the state offices except for two of them. And certainly the city of Seattle, not a Republican to be seen. Maybe this will change things. Certainly should. What about white people? Are you allowed to capitalize white? We will get to that issue, which has just been decided by Associated Press, and more coming up on the MedVed Show.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD Family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
As violence continues to escalate around a federal justice center and courthouse in Portland, Oregon, White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany says the president will take action.
Democrats continue to put politics above peace while this president seeks to restore law and order.
McEnany speaking during a White House briefing continues.
By any objective standard, the violence, chaos, and anarchy in Portland is unacceptable.
Rioters on Monday were tearing away the protective barrier of the Portland Federal Courthouse piece by piece. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says he hopes the United States and United Kingdom can work out a quick trade deal. Pompeo in London on Tuesday meeting with UK leaders to discuss a number of issues. And President Trump's coronavirus briefings resume today. It will come as many states are dealing with outbreaks of the virus. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
With gun theft on the rise, it's crucial that law-abiding citizens hide their guns from criminals who are now becoming desperate. Learn exactly how with the newly updated Hide Your Guns e-manual, written by a former U.S. Special Forces officer who now reveals his field-tested secrets. Whether it's sneaky ways to hide your guns in plain sight or using extremely clever hiding places that even skilled thieves will never suspect, learn how to hide other valuables too, like cash, gold coins, credit cards, so that they're safe from thieves but back in your hands instantly when needed. All this week, get 4 free bonuses when you order. Gun Debate Bootcamp, How to Argue with Liberals About Guns and Win Every Time audio program. Our No BS Home Defense Report, the best-selling Your Home, Your Fortress e-manual, and a special mystery bonus worth $25. Go to hideyourguns.com. That's hideyourguns.com. Don't let your guns be stolen and used in a crime. Go to hideyourguns.com.
There's an explosive headline, and maybe you disagree with it. It's a headline from Associated Press and a statement from Associated Press. The headline says, "Why We Will Lowercase White." And in the headline, of course, they lowercase white. No capital for white. And here's what the statement says by John Danizewski. AP Style will continue to lowercase the term white in racial, ethnic, and cultural senses. This decision follows our move last month to capitalize black with a great big capital B in such cases. We consulted with a wide group of people internally and externally around the globe and concluded considered a variety of commentary in making these decisions. Okay, let me say at the outset, it sounds terrible, but when you think about it, as I've indicated before on this show, I think it makes sense. I really do. They say there was a clear desire and reason to capitalize black. Most notably, people who are black have strong historical and cultural commonalities, even if they're from different parts of the world, and even if they now live in different parts of the world. That includes the shared experience of discrimination due solely to the color of one's skin. There is, at this time, less support for capitalizing white. White people generally do not share the same history and culture, or the experience of being discriminated against because of skin color. In addition, we are a global news organization, and in much of the world there is considerable disagreement, ambiguity, and confusion about who is included by the term white. For instance, we know a number of Iranian Americans, people from Iran. Are they white? They're people from Iran who are very pale in complexion. Paler complexion than me. So do you get to count as white or do something else? They go on at Associated Press. They say, but capitalizing the term white, as is done by white supremacists, risks subtly conveying legitimacy to such beliefs. And again, what are they supposed to do? If they do capitalize the term white, doesn't that give support to this whole ridiculous Robin DiAngelo notion that we have to dwell on race, concentrate on race, focus on race? Race is the biggest deal. That the very essence of who you are, if you happen to be a white person listening to me, it's your whiteness. No, it's not that your ancestors may be from Germany, your ancestors may be from Brazil, your ancestors may be from Bulgaria. You're white. That's what's really, really, really important. And, yeah, I'm glad to put that stuff behind us. And speaking of giving attention to race, there is a... I had mentioned that there were two pieces in Teen Vogue. The one about, meet Karl Marx, the scholar who taught us so much about our past and present. And, of course, they glorify Marx and don't tell you any of the really disgusting stuff about him that Paul Kengor was sharing with us. They also have new article calling for rest reparations. Yeah, Teen Vogue just published an article alleging that sleep is indicative of systemic racism. Yeah, now, some activists are calling for rest reparations in the form of sabbaticals and time off from work and from other strenuous activities for people of color. The article is entitled Black Power Naps is Addressing Systemic Racism in Sleep. And it reveals that the Black Power Naps Initiative alleges that African Americans typically have shorter lifespans when compared to their white peers. Black Power Naps, created by writers Navild Acosta and Fanny Sosa, insist that black lives are shorter than white lives because blacks experience generational fatigue, in quotes, simply on the grounds that they are African American. The magazine describes Black Power Naps as an artistic initiative, of course, with components including physical installation, zines, an opera, and more. I guess the opera is particularly there to help you sleep, right? Writers Acosta and Sosa reveal that they experienced an epiphany. Quote, they were always tired, and they realized it was because they were impacted by hundreds of years of sleep deprivation that was due to systemic racism. Now, this is a scientific breakthrough. I did not know that if my great-grandfather experienced a lot of exhaustion and just a lack of sleep deprivation, if that happened to my great-grandfather back in Ukraine, that it was going to impact me. I'm not sure how it impacts me, but it's magical and wonderful, like so much of the writing on race today. They were tired, write Acosta and Sosa. They were tired, but it just wasn't any old fatigue. Yes, they experienced a lack of sleep, but they were specifically experiencing a generational fatigue familiar to black people and people of color. Acosta told Teen Vogue that black people and people of color inherited sleep deprivation through years of slavery and control. Quote, we're dealing with an inheritance of sleep deprivation. Sleep deprivation was a deliberate tactic of slave owners to basically make the mind feeble. That same tactic has only evolved. The dream space is a crucial space to make sense of your reality and properly process the violence that may be happening. When we're not getting the sleep we need, it is another front line, that place where we sleep. I'm honest to goodness, racialized sleep? I think what they are trying to argue for is an allegation that I have never heard before, which is that black people, because of all this legacy of hundreds of years of sleep deprivation, need and deserve more sleep. By the way, I'd like to get more sleep. I mean, wouldn't you? Most folks out there, even in the midst of a pandemic? I mean, really? And here's what they say at the conclusion of the article. We're having to go out in the streets during a pandemic, spending our energy in really huge amounts. We just have to. In order to ask for reparations and rest and energy, it's a double-edged sword to navigate as an activist and an organizer. You're putting your body on the line to reclaim it. That creates a lot of burnout. We have people who are 20, 21. They're burnt out. They need time off. Agreed. Take time off. They need to not only sleep, but to know their people are going to be okay. To know they're going to be okay. To know they can take a break. No, actually, you have to keep on demonstrating, and you have to keep on riling Portland, and you have to keep on trying to burn down the federal courthouse, and you have to keep on confronting the Department of Homeland Security, because if you don't do that, your people will not be okay. How stupid is this? Especially when you're talking about Portland, which is 94%. That's the accurate percentage, non-black. Most of it white. This is madness. And in the sports front, there's some good news and, well, some news. I won't say it's bad news. MLB, Major League Baseball, which is getting back into business, actually tweeted out a very nice picture showing Gabe Kapler, the new manager of the San Francisco Giants. He failed with the Phillies, now he's with the Giants. Members of the SF Giants kneel during the national anthem. Hashtag Black Lives Matter. Tweeted, Major League Baseball. So why are they cutting a bunch of sports in colleges across the country? Is it racist somehow? It's actually appropriate. And would founding fathers wear masks? We'll get to that coming up on the MedVed Show.
Become a MedHead
and receive 50% off History Store downloads for all annual members. Join today at michaelmedved.com.
Did you know precious metals have a solid history of outperforming the stock market during tough economic times? Chatting with my good friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, he warned me there are severe shortages of gold, silver, and platinum right now. Now, many dealers have nothing to sell. So right now, AmFed is helping hundreds of people acquire bullion. They're open for business with some staff working from home, and they can lock you in precious metals at a very fair price. Nick has been in the industry for over 40 years. He knows the intricacies of every market condition, what to buy now, and what you should avoid. He's the only person, really, that I trust for solid advice and the one person you need to talk to about this situation. Call AmFed Coin and Bullion at 800-221-7694 or visit AmericanFederal.com. That's AmericanFederal.com or 800-221-7694. Most of us, nearly all of us in fact, have been spending so much more time at home recently that now is the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of our sleep with MyPillow. Right now, buy one, get one free pricing on Giza Elegance MyPillows, roll and go anywhere pillows, duvet covers, Giza pillowcases, bolster pillows, and neck pillows. Just go to the radio listener special page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED or call 1-800-320-6280. If you order Mike Lindell's book, your entire MyPillow order will ship for free. Plus, he'll give you a $25 gift card for your next purchase. Don't miss this amazing opportunity to buy one, get one free on pillows, duvets, and more from MyPillow. Call 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280. Or go to the radio listener's special page at MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I mentioned that there was more from the world of sports. I mean, such as it is. Look, I'm eager for the baseball season to start. I mean, even with nobody in the stands and even with people kneeling for the national anthem, there's something about perspective. I mean, I remember when this was an issue before. But now when... They're not even going to be singing the national anthem, apparently, at the very first game for the NFL, across the NFL, National Football League. They're going to be playing Lift Every Voice and Sing. I mean, there's only so much outrage and so many fights you can have. And speaking of which, one of the things I know President Trump is going to be asked about this afternoon at his news conference, which we will go to live, he's going to be asked about the naming of Confederate bases. He was asked about that by Chris Wallace, and he said, no, Fort Bragg, it's a beautiful name, leave aside that Braxton Bragg was a horrible general, aside from being a Confederate and pro-slavery and all of that. He says, oh, no, Fort Bragg, we won two beautiful world wars. President Trump said it. We won two beautiful world wars with troops from Fort Bragg, and the name is staying. Now, he has threatened to veto a defense appropriation bill, which pays military salaries, which keeps our troops in the field, which is kind of essential, if it includes a provision about changing the names of, I think it's 11 military bases that are named after Confederates. And really? Worth having that kind of confrontation? If he does veto it, I think it could probably be passed over as veto. Because certainly a lot of Republicans have no doubt at all about changing the Confederate names. This is another change that is going on right now. Headline, strapped colleges pare back on their country club sports. Colleges eager to cut costs amid a financial crisis brought on by the pandemic have settled on an easy target. Low-profile sports that don't draw many spectators attract a disproportionate number of white or foreign athletes and are relatively pricey to operate. Schools ranging from highly selective private institutions like Stanford to public institutions including the University of Connecticut and the University of Akron are scrapping varsity teams for sports such as rowing, fencing, tennis, and squash. The teams have small rosters and require expensive facilities. They also don't make any money. Dartmouth College, which is eliminating its golf program, will also shutter the Hanover Country Club after losing money on the property. For years, they've been losing money on it. Football and men's basketball, which tend to be the biggest revenue drivers for Division I college athletics, are not being cut, although their fall schedules are shifting. Had COVID-19 not happened, we may have looked at one or two sports, not four, said John Gilbert, the athletic director of East Carolina University, which said in late May, it's going to eliminate men's and women's swimming and diving and men's and women's tennis. Okay, I know that Bill Simon, who is a guy that I respect, he at one time was the Republican candidate for governor of California, didn't win, but he is writing critically of this. He is a big advocate for squash and how squash can change people's lives. Look, if a university can save money by eliminating squash or sailing, they have these big expensive sailing programs at Stanford. If somebody wants to support that with your own money, yeah, go ahead. But again, for these universities which are getting public money, they all do, except for Grove City College and Hillsdale College. They all are getting public money, and big-time public money. They get lots of donations from alumni who are suckers in many cases, and they squander it on stuff like this. And, you know, I'm sorry, if you love fencing, and then you can go ahead and endow a fencing club. You can go ahead and get a squash court and build a squash court. But the idea that a golf program, that you need to hire a golf course, a coach, and pay for a golf program for competitive golf at the university level is a foolishness. And it's also the idea that, I mean, Bill Simon writes about a whole series of squash scholarships. Are we not losing sight of the purpose for a university or a college? And part of the purpose for any university or college should be some kind of knowledge of the founding fathers who built this country, which is something that I've devoted a great deal of my career to. And there's a piece that appears in Bloomberg's, and it's by a writer named Justin Fox, and it's pretty good. The title of the piece is The Founding Fathers Would Have Been Pro-Face Mask. During a smallpox outbreak in March of 1662, writes Justin Fox, officials in East Hampton, New York, near the eastern tip of New York's Long Island, tried to cut off movement between the town and surrounding Indian villages. It is ordered that no Indian shall come to town and to the street after sufficient notice upon penalty of money or to be whipped until they are free of smallpox. Now, you might say this is racist. What decimated Indian populations across the country was smallpox. And what they were trying to do is to avoid contagion. And they point out that the limitations on movement, commerce, and fashion, by which I mean face mask mandates, that have been imposed to fight COVID-19 in the U.S. this year have been decried in some quarters as unprecedented and unconstitutional affronts to liberty. As is apparent from the historical example above, there's nothing unprecedented about restricting freedom in the name of fighting infectious diseases. There's nothing unconstitutional either. The U.S. Supreme Court explicitly endorsed state quarantine powers in 1824. And though citizens have occasionally challenged the application of those powers as violations of the Due Process Clause of the Fifth and Fourteenth Amendment, they've almost always lost their court cases. The point about all of this is that George Washington contracted smallpox when he was 19. And it almost killed him. He was traveling to Barbados in the West Indies with his older brother Lawrence, who was dying of tuberculosis. They thought it would help Lawrence with his tuberculosis symptoms. It didn't. And it almost killed George, because George got smallpox and that made him immune. In America, one of the deciding factors in the Revolutionary War was what they call the Great Smallpox Epidemic, which went on from 1775, the very beginning of the war, until 1785, which is after the war. And it was devastating. And one of the reasons that Washington won the war was having experienced smallpox. He required, starting in 1777 in the winter, he required that every one of his troops be inoculated. And you know who helped him enforce that? Alexander Hamilton. Yeah, that's right. In other words, the idea being that if you wanted to join the Continental Army, you had to be inoculated against smallpox. And that is one of many factors in Washington's leadership, why a statue should never, ever be disrespected, that helped the colonials win this uphill struggle against the British. Washington was not an anti-vaxxer. He was a big-time vaxxer. And so was Hamilton. And by the way, so was Jefferson. Jefferson was very concerned about yellow fever. He was very concerned about smallpox. And there were domestic quarantines and other measures, too, and not just in East Hampton that we're hearing about. Some of the toughest were imposed in 1793 when yellow fever devastated Philadelphia, killing thousands of the city's inhabitants and sending tens of thousands fleeing. With Philadelphia, the nation's temporary capital at the time, Washington, Hamilton, and Jefferson were among the refugees. President Washington said later that he had considered staying longer in Philadelphia, but didn't want to endanger his wife, Martha. In any event, this is a very long tradition of American patriots taking disease seriously. So people who feel that there's something alien or inappropriate or un-American about wearing a mask and doing whatever you can to avoid coronavirus, you should think again. And take a look at this piece. We'll post it up at our website at michaelmedved.com. When we come back, we're supposed to be hearing right at the top of the hour from President Trump in his first coronavirus daily briefing. Maybe it'll start being daily again. His first one in 2 months. Why the big break and why resume now? We'll find out and much more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.